it hurts.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
So obey the government. The authorities are sent by God to help you, but if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. So verse 5, what does verse 5 say? Verse 5, so you must obey the government for two reasons. I want you to get the two reasons. Verse 5, so you must obey the government for two reasons. Say two reasons. All right. To keep from being punished. How many think that's a good thing? That's if you have a godly government, so you don't want to be punished. So that's a good reason. That's called don't be stupid, right? Smarten up. And number two, there's a second reason, and it ties in with what David was saying. When David said his conscience bothered him, remember that? His conscience bothered him. Look, to see if you see anything about conscience here. Obey the government to keep from being punished and to keep a clear. Well, why would my conscience not be clear? If I fail to understand that God is sovereign over all things and that God is the one who puts people in places of authority. So we could look at the why obey. These in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, can we turn? Do we have a second to go? 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And I want you to just see something. In verse 4, Jehoshaphat is the king. Verse 1 tells us King Jehoshaphat of Judah arrived safely from Jerusalem. Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Why should you help the wicked, love those who hate the Lord? He asked the king. What you have done has brought the Lord's anger against you. There is some good in you, however, for you have removed the Asherah poles throughout the land and you have committed yourself to seeking God. Now I want to tell you what revival looks like. When you have revival happening in a political sense in your government, what can happen is a part of our prayer and understanding. Look at this. So Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, so he lives in the capital, but he went out among the people, traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, encouraging the people to return to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. God, give us a president like that. We are seeing some restoration and some call back to the God of our ancestors. Our president's going to rededicate America to God. Going to rededicate our nation to God. Did you know that's in the Word of God? This is revival. This is what revival is, when you have political leaders that recognize they are not God, but God is God. And we need to surrender ourselves and recognize God and honor Him. This is exciting to me. So what did he do? He encouraged the people to return to the Lord. He left the capital. He travels through the land and he's using his place of limited authority to promote God's sovereign authority over the land. It's a sign of humility for our president to rededicate America to God. Is a sign of humility, and God is honored when that happens. Still with me? Okay. Encouraging the people to return to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Oh, Joe, you're going to love it. Revival impacts the courthouse. Somebody told me they don't like attorneys too much. I love attorneys. I need somebody that's equipped and prepared to fight the demons and devils that crawl into the courthouses. We need godly wisdom and godly attorneys to do that. Lord have mercy. You know why we have so little representation from the kingdom of God? Because we've encouraged everybody to be preachers to serve God. Praise God for the preachers. I like to do a little of that. But you need to serve God in whatever gifts and callings God has given you. Whether you're a plumber or a scientist or a doctor or a lawyer or a candlestick maker, whatever you're doing, or a homemaker, glorify God in that place. It is so needed. So in revival, this to me is a picture of revival in the Word of God. He appointed judges. Any of you notice who our president has appointed? Not perfect, but they're a whole lot better. Supreme Court. Even long after he is out of office, that influence is something we see. If it's signs of revival. If there's not revival in the house of God, then praise God there's revival that politicians can bring. Well, I pray for it in the house of God too. He appointed judges throughout the nation in all the fortified cities, and he gave them these instructions. Always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Talking about office, talking about responsibility, talking about truth, and being bearers of truth, and being held accountable for what you do with the... Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you.
With the judges, hallelujah.
He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case that comes before you. In revival, God restores the sanity and the righteousness and the understanding to the judges so there's righteous decisions. How many of you know that we still need a lot of that to be done in our nation? We need to have the swamp and the judicial system cleansed. Fear the Lord and judge with care, for the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or taking of bribes. And I know we can't add to the Word of God, but I believe it's included, or political party. That's my understanding of this, that the judges had been, they had been bought off, they had been paid, and they were no longer free to make righteous judicial decisions because they had surrendered to other entities and strongholds and forces in their nation. Revival. Why obey? Well, because God puts our leaders in that place and holds them. Well, above all, we are to honor God. We serve God first. Seek first. Above all, we honor God. And above all, we obey what God has to say. In Acts 5:29, they were just ministering. They're witnessing. They said, you can't do this. We charge you to no longer speak in this name. Leave our town. Get out of here. And I remember what the apostles said. They said, is it right or righteous for us to obey you, our God? Who are we going to? So if you have unrighteous leaders that are putting some kind of a restriction or a law on you that hinders you, I just wrote it down this way. It's real simple. When government requires actions that requires limits to actions required by God, or when the government requires that we do things forbidden by God, at that point, God rules and we're surrendered to God always. When government is breaking its own laws, hello, we just had that as a church. The government was using the law to have oppressive, controlling limitation on us as a church. They are misusing their own law. How many are glad we live in a nation where we still have law and there is some godly order? So when government is breaking its own laws, and as a Christian, you are given the legal, lawful means to oppose being oppressed or taken advantage of, then I believe it's the Christian's right and responsibility to oppose undue, ungodly, unlawful oppression. I believe we must do that. Christians are encouraged the best. Well, I told you we might have to repent of something. I'm not going to go to the closing. I'm going to close at the pre-closing. My friend Andrew was here. I said, Andrew, which closing am I on? 1 Samuel chapter 12. Let's go to the pre-closing. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and the first few verses. It lays the context out where Samuel, he's not a kid anymore. He addresses the people. And he says, I've done as you ask and given you a king. Remember that? They said, we want a king. We want to be like other nations. He said, I've selected him ahead of my own sons, and I stand here an old gray-haired man. He's in the last chapter of his life. I've served as your leader since I was a boy. You remember, he was taken. Now tell me, as I stand before the Lord and before his anointed one, whose ox or donkey have I stolen? And he goes through this whole thing. Have I ever cheated you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong. And they all reply, you've never cheated or oppressed us in any way. You've never taken even a... The Lord and his anointed one are my witnesses, Samuel declared, that you can never accuse me of robbing you. Then Samuel sort of chronicles the journey with Israel, where they were always resisting the will of God. They'd get things right. They'd get in trouble. They'd cry out for help, and God would help them. And so he goes through some of that, their deliverance that God brought from Egypt, how they cried out to God in verse 10 and confessed, we've sinned by turning away, how God has been merciful. You ask for a king. You've got your king. Look him over. You're the one who wanted a king. You didn't want God to be your king. Look at verse 14. Now, if you will fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, and if you and your king follow the Lord, your and all will be what? But if you, this is a message to you and your king, if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Speaking of rebellion, right? He said, now I stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. You know that it does not rain this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king. Anybody that wants to say, keep God out of politics, needs to understand God's plan was that he led his people, his nation, without earthly, natural king. He wanted to do that. Is that political? I guess. If you're a politician saying, hey, God wants my job. No, God has your job. You have no job unless God gives you a job. God is into politics. God is into science. God is into mathematics. God is into logic. God is into every aspect of our society. God is involved in all of that. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain, and all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel, and they said, pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die. And they cried out to Samuel, for now we've added to our sins by asking for a king. Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You've certainly done wrong, but make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart, and that you don't turn your back on him in any way. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They really are useless. The Lord will not abandon his chosen people, for that would dishonor his great name. He made you a special nation for himself. Stop! Wake up if you're sleeping, because I want you to see this next verse. As for me. Now, you have a different translation. You may see a different... Go ahead, check it out. You're going to find out it says the same thing. Maybe a little differently. Samuel says, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers. Did you know it's not just a sin to break the Ten Commandments? It's also a sin to not pray for those who are in government over us. Next week, God willing, still alive? I don't know, but I plan. Next week, we're going to look at a third area of God in government, because God has an action plan. It's not enough. We must pray, but we must also be active in the redemption of our nation and the direction that I learned early on that anybody can be a critic. Anybody can find fault, because Satan will see to it that as righteous and perfect as you are, the enemy will make us aware each other's faults and failures. Always does that, right? Government too. But this is one thing I know. This is one thing I know. That it takes the heart of God to pray sincerely, to work hard. Redemption requires personal, passionate, purposeful pursuit of God's will and purpose. My belief, personal, the church has prayed more for our own personal needs than we have for our government and the government's needs. I believe, though many of us in this room pray on some kind of a regularity for our president and those who lead. Thank you, Bill. You always say, and Lord bless President Donald Trump. My wife and I both, we cringe when he's called Trump. I understand that's his name. His president. Say, why does it matter? Because the presidency is more important than the presidency is part of what God has foreordained. Maybe all of us pray enough for our government. Maybe all of us pray enough for our city building officials, our planning and zoning, for our commissioners. Maybe all of us show up at commission meetings to let commissioners know what the body of Christ has to say about where roads go and where water goes. Say, well, I don't really understand any of that stuff. I'll tell you what, if what you're anointed to do is enter and pray, it'll mess the devil's plan up if you just go sit there and pray quietly. Go to the city, go to the county, prayer walk, drive, prayer drive. Say, I can't walk that distance. Then drive your car around the block. God, I'm interceding for my city. I'm interceding for my county. I'm interceding for my nation. I'm interceding, God. Have mercy on these people. Because the closing is Nebuchadnezzar, who God said, I'm going to work on you, and God is aware. Let's serve communion. You don't need to repent. We'll repent for those who don't need to who I would pick on my friends, the Baptist, but I won't. Or the Presbyterian, but I won't. Or the Roman Catholics who are upset because we have a president that says we need to pray about that too. There are a lot of people that are in a lot of organizations that do not know God. And they think they're on the way to heaven but do not know God. But you do. Amen? We do. So we will pray, but we will also. That's next week. So David, is there a amen? Is there a David, is there a in the house? I trust the message today is something that you can ponder and pray over and some direction from the Lord. Because I believe these are exciting days of opportunity. But we could miss some things. So my prayer is that we don't miss the opportunities that praise God. Well, I see Jasmine, you're over here and Ruddy. How did that happen? Ruddy, you guys okay? The word says you're not bound in such cases, Ruddy. Come on up here, Ruddy. I want you to lead us in communion, man. Come on up here, Jasmine. You help out too. Father, prepare our hearts for this time. I just lift up, Father, those that are joining us by live stream today. If you're listening today and maybe you're upset at me because you think I'm too political, but would you take it to God? And if you today are listening and you have not accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, receive the gift of life today. You have to confess you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Say, Father, I repent. I confess I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin. I turn to God. And if you do that, you have done that, then welcome the Holy Spirit into your life to fill you and baptize you and join us in communion. Whether you're in your home, wherever you are, be a partner with us. Amen.
Paul to the Philippians said that I might know him. And as we gather in today's communion services, this is a way in which we can draw closer to him. We can know him some more. And it's one thing to know about him. It's something totally different from knowing him. And so this day, as we gather for today's communion service, it's an opportunity in which we can draw nigh, we can draw near, we can close. John said, come up a little higher and I will show you great and mighty things. As we have heard the word delivered from God's servant today, it's not our responsibility to move it from hearing to doing, applying it, make it become relevant in our daily lives. And we just want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity in which we can gather to share in the Lord's.
Praise God. His body was broken for us. He went to the cross voluntarily. And when we think about what he went through for us, we should be grateful because he did it just for us. Father, we thank you that you sent your son as sacrifice for our sins. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross. You went in obedience to the Father's will. And as we come to this communion table, we reflect on what you have done, and we give you thanks for your body, which was broken for us. Lord, we pray that you bless this bread as we partake, and that, Lord, we will be reminded today that your body was broken for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may all eat.
One of the good things about our Lord Jesus Christ is that he didn't just speak words, but he demonstrated it. He took the cup. He didn't ask the disciples to do it, but he actually took it and he blessed it. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. We are now going into a new era. We are now going into a new relationship. We're going to take it from the old to the new, from the law to grace." And he said, "This is the cup of the new test." He blessed it. He prayed on it. And so we ask the Lord just to bless this cup. Father, in the name of Jesus, as you did, Lord, so we do today. We take this cup, Lord, and we lift it. Oh God, we're about to partake of it. And so, Lord, we ask that you will bless it, Lord God. Father, that as in taking this cup, Lord, as we partake, Lord God, that healing will be experienced. Deliverance, Lord God, chains will be broken, Lord God. Father, we can experience the mighty move, the resurrection power that raised up Christ from the dead. Lord, can move in us and through us for your glory. Lord, so Father, we ask that you'll just bless this cup as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, may we all this moment. Jesus said, as often as you drink this cup, as often as you break this bread and partake of it, we do show his death until he comes. That responsibility is on us as we go from here today to show Jesus. Let Jesus not just be heard, but be seen in us. Hallelujah. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Ruddy. Thank you, Jasmine. Godly attorney Joe, come up here with your bride and speak a blessing over our people. Is it good we have godly attorneys? That's awesome. And elders and ministers in the body of Christ. It's absolutely awesome. Amen. 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 Ruddy's just wondering if there's a fee to call you up. Well, maybe we should check and see if we can afford it, right?
Yeah. Consultation.
It's not marital. It's not marital.
No. I think so, yeah. last week when we were, I think it was last week, we were in worship, and I just had such a sense of what we all bring to the table when we come together in worship. Because I know the Bible talks about how heavenly hosts are assigned to each one of us. So when we occupy this space when we come together, he says also this about it. He says, where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst of them. So we not only are here sitting in our pew looking around and seeing the faces that we can see with our natural eyes, but when we look and see the unseen, you know, like when he was looking at the army, he said, how can we possibly overcome them? He says, well, you're not seeing what I see. He opened his servant's eyes so that he could see the heavenly hosts that were backing what it is the battle they were walking into. And when we were worshiping, I just had this, what is it you need? Because he's here to minister to your need. You're not to carry the things that feel heavy and hard and broken and maybe unsteady and unsure of the future alone. He says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. So if you have something in you today, don't leave unministered to. Don't let those places be something you hold back from the Father, but even if you don't know exactly how to present it to him, you can say, God, I have this place. It's still hurting. I don't understand. I just ask you to come into that place and minister and touch that place. There's just nothing about you that makes him run away. right? Because the enemy and society and sometimes, unfortunately, the body of Christ can make us think we have to hide the ugly, hide the imperfect, and only present the best. In a world of social media, we are being ultimately trained to show the world the snapshots, the selfies of the moments that are pretty. But behind every snapshot like that, there's a hard moment, right? Even in the body of Christ, we rejoice at the victories and we're supposed to, but there were some waiting times in the midst that lead us to the victory. And those he is ever so present, isn't he? So anyways, that was what I heard the last week. I just heard, remember, there's no place in your life that he can't minister to.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Yes.